Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. This is about Donald J. Trump's rhetoric about invading Greenland. And he said this before, I think he even said it in his first term, that, yeah, we need Greenland, we want it, it's essential for our national security, we could just take it. And it's something he repeated last year. Now, it's not a new idea, but in the mid-19th century, the United States government debated whether they should ask Denmark if they could buy Greenland, Greenland being a territory of the Danish crown, and possibly purchase Iceland too. Because in the 19th century, this was completely conventional, territories were purchased. Most famously, the Alaska Purchase, 1867, Seward's Folly, as in the United States Secretary of State, William H. Seward. By the way, of course, what the Americans call Secretary of State, most countries call Foreign Secretary or Foreign Minister, and so on. So it was considered before the First World War. Just after the Second World War, Harry S. Truman offered $100 million in gold to Denmark, and the Danes declined. Now, $100 million in 1946 was worth far more than it is today. And remember, Denmark, like most other European countries, had lost a lot of its wealth as a result of the Second World War. So it would have been quite a tempting offer. So why would he bother? Well, partly, you know, Trump's megalomania, because he's got to be the biggest, the highest, the richest, the cleverest, the most. You know, Trump Towers had the most floors, supposedly, where they didn't. He used to lie about the number of floors. And he was on the phone to a TV channel when 9/11 happened and saying, well, now it's the tallest building in Manhattan because the others got knocked down. Wow. What a time to think to brag about that. Just how sick and egomaniacal he is. You know, calling it Trump Gold Elite, one of the things, the courses that he had with his so-called university, Trump University. Why has he not been in jail for fraud decades ago? That, you know, he's got $10 billion. It's a lie. It's not more than about half that. That he won the biggest landslide ever, which, again, is a lie. Just lie after lie after lie. But anyway, it's a fixation with size. You're lying about his height, said 6'3". He's actually 6'1" and stuff like that. And then there's just more land. But, you know, Greenland is almost empty. It's got only about 100,000 people, the largest island in the world. But it'd be the first president of the United States to expand the territory of the United States since the 19th century. And all right, Alaska and Hawaii became states in 1959. They were territories of the U.S. But funnily enough, the other U.S. territories, he could try and incorporate the United States, but nobody seems to want to. Certainly the Republican Party, places like, you know, American Samoa, been asking for this for decades. 2010, Puerto Rico said, we want to become a state, the U.S. Virgin Islands and so on. But the Republican Party doesn't want that because people there lean heavily towards the Democrats. And so on. So they're in this ambiguous situation that they're in limbo. Even Washington, D.C., is not a state because the capital is being neutral between all the others. So Greenland, yeah, partly for its size, but its strategic location there in the Atlantic Ocean, very close to the poles. And flying over the poles is the quick way between United States and the Far East, or in even some of Europe. So you would have control of the sea lanes as well as these air corridors. There would be bases there to give early warning in case of missile strikes. But wait a second, as it's owned by Denmark, which is part of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, they could probably get permission to put those there anyway. Early warning radar systems could be established there, space surveillance, and so on. Now, they've already got one base, the Pituffik Space Base in Greenland. It's been there for decades, but maybe more of them. Because of climate change, more of the Northwest Passage is going to be navigable more of the year because it's melting. And the Russians are keenly alive to that. They've got a fleet to sail north of Siberia, you know, from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean. And it's also a relatively short route. Now, it's not open all the year, but icebreakers to try and open it the rest of the year. Now, but what about its economic value? Well, I think America's got enough fish. You know, over 90% of their exports are seafood. But it's really the rare earth elements, these rare earth metals, nickel, zinc, uranium, and so on. Uranium, crucial for civilian nuclear energy or indeed nuclear weapons, other critical metals. Anyway, these are used for various sort of defense technologies, to build semiconductors, for certain electric vehicles, and for certain systems which generate renewable energy. So we don't know how much untapped wealth there is, but the mineral wealth there is very significant. Now, you could use hydropower there. People think there might be gas or oil offshore, but we're not sure. There's not that much prospecting. But otherwise, it's not even 100,000 people. So Greenland, the Danes and the Norwegians weren't really two distinct nations. If you go back to the Dark Ages, we even talk about Denmark, Norway, right up until the early 19th century. And that's when at the end of the Napoleonic Wars, well, Norway was taken away from Sweden, taken away from the Danes, given to the Swedes, blah, blah, blah. But back to the Danes and the Norwegians and so on, sailing west with land hunger from the 9th century AD onwards, because the northern climes fairly rocky, not that much fertile soil. Obviously, Norway is much worse off than Denmark. And so they often went fishermen, which turned them to sailors, and obviously raiding the British Isles elsewhere, Normandy, but finding Iceland and some of them landing there. Now, it was rather rocky, so it's not great for arable farming. Bringing their sheep there and leaving them off on an offshore island, there wasn't even enough wood to build fences to keep them in, but it was a small island, they couldn't go too far. So leaving those islets. But Iceland, well, who's going to want to live there? So they found it somewhere else, which is even chillier, icier and rockier, very little fertile soil. But in the first example of a public relations campaign, they told this great advertising lie calling it Greenland, where it's not verdant at all, because nobody wanted to settle it otherwise. Because remember, this is the days most people were farmers. I mean, until the 20th century, most people in most countries were farmers. So that's a fact often overlooked. And obviously, there were autochthonous people there who were distant relations to the Inuits. Anyhow, so white Danes settled there as well. The Danish language took over and they were converted to Christianity, the Catholic type, which became Lutheran Christianity from the 16th century. And in the 20th century, it's a campaign to take away these children from those indigenous families, bring them up in white Danish families, often in Denmark, and to assimilate them, acculturate them, have them speak the Danish tongue. Sometimes they forgot their mother tongue and so forth, and sometimes returned decades later. But the majority of people there are indigenous. Obviously, some people are intermarried. People from the Far East have gone there because there are not that many women around, and some of the men get their mail order brides. Don't intend that as a term of disparagement, from the Philippines and elsewhere. So it's quite a big East Asian community. It's quite a considerable percentage of people there. And so that is Greenland. Now, could he seize it? Well, there's no question the US has the military might. The United States, with, is it 330 million people? Denmark, with 5 million people. If the military is anywhere like proportionate, of course, the United States could easily win this very, very easily. Win it using only its pinky. And what are they going to do? They're a NATO country. But that wouldn't, may not break up NATO. It would certainly damage the alliance. But it would be a crime. It would be against international law. It would be against the Charter of the United Nations. The United States was instrumental drawing that up, not changing borders by armed force, not threatening war, initiating wars, a war of aggression. You know, because Denmark hasn't aggressed the United States. Denmark hasn't fired a shot at the United States. Has not, well, no one of its troops have entered the territory of the United States without American permission. They've not claimed any American territory. They've not harmed the United States in any way whatsoever. It would be totally unprovoked aggression, saying, I want it, and I'm going to grab it. I mean, that is an armed robber's argument. We need it for national security, like the Danes don't need it. What's to be the future of Greenland? They've done opinion polls, and almost no Greenlanders want to become a territory or state of the United States. They might want independence, but they could vote for that, or whether they stay as they are. I think it stay as they are. But it's no business in the United States. It's not part of the United States. It never, ever has been part of the United States. So they should butt out. What if another country say, we want some of your land? The Ruskies say, we want Alaska back. And some of them say it openly. Some of the ultra-nationalist politician, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, he died about 3 years ago, but he used to say, and he had a major following. He sometimes came second in these Russian presidential elections. Or another territory, another country is quite powerful, China, we want to grab some American islands in the Pacific Ocean. No, not acceptable. We don't do that anymore. If the Danes wanted to sell it or the people of Greenland wanted to do this, that'd be completely different, but they don't. And I'm worried that he might do it. It seemed crazy. It seemed risible. After winter to Maduro is not so funny now. His total disregard for international law doesn't suit him. And yet Washington, D.C. presumes to preach to us about the sanctimony of international law when it suits them. So the laws they like count. The laws they don't like, they don't count. So you see how utterly hypocritical and irrational this is. But I'm very worried they might do something, the kind of thing that only Trump would do. And of course, there are enough jingoistic morons there who'd be cheering him on because it's a crime he could get away with. But, you know, there might be other people in his firing line, Colombia, Cuba, he's talked about. And of course, it is strengthening the arm of Putin and Xi Jinping saying, well, if he's allowed to do it, we're allowed to do it. And clearly it's enfeebled the Atlantic Alliance. Some NATO countries saying we're being stabbed in the back by the United States. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure to subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.